The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Connect, solve painful problems, raise amazing adults, and have healthy families. Welcome to the Sean Donahue Show. Jordan and I do this podcast because we want your family to be close and connected. And we want you to feel empowered and equipped in your most important job, the most important job in the world. Let's go deeper than this podcast. Head to my website, parentingmodernteens.com, and get my email straight to your inbox. And when you're ready to go deep and get serious coaching from me, join me in my VIP membership. Parents are teachers, and every home is a school. So teach well, love well. All right. Let's have some fun together.
What is up, my fellow parents? Hey, it's good to be here with you guys. Hey, you know what's so fun about having a podcast is you get to talk about whatever you want to talk about, right? You can just pick the topics and share stories, share life. And then, you know, what's also really fun about having a podcast is with some people who listen like you, it's like, you know, you can have these awesome guests come on. So we don't have a lot of guests on, you know, our show, but I was thinking, you know what? Okay, who would I want to come on? And I was scrolling through my social media and I saw my favorite comedian on there and he was on a podcast. And I was like, what? Oh my gosh. What am I thinking? I can have Garrett onto my show. Like, this is a great opportunity for me to hang out with the person who makes me laugh all the time. And so I reached out to my favorite comedian. His name is Garrett Fuller. He makes comedy videos on Wayne County Life. And I asked him, hey, can you come on the show? We'll talk about fatherhood, parenthood, marriage. We'll talk about your videos and comedy. And Garrett, I'm so glad you joined us, man.
Oh man, I am so glad to be here. I'm a huge fan of like podcasts. So okay. When you guys were like, oh, this one? Oh, I know this one. Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited to be here with you guys.
It's cool for us too to like learn what different, you know, backgrounds of dads and what they're doing in their life and different, you know, we all have different kind of work-life balance. And so to see someone in that realm where it seems like kind of edgy, and there was a time where like comedians were getting canceled, and I was like, wow, someone wants to do that for a living. This has got to be so hard, and COVID and all this stuff. And you're like, yeah, I'm just a normal guy, but I like to make people laugh, but yet I'm also dad, I'm also a husband. So I guess let's kind of get an idea of where you reign. You're coming to us, what, from Michigan?
Yeah, I'm in the like suburbs of like the outskirts of Detroit. So there's like suburbs that surround Detroit called Metro Detroit, and I'm in those. So if you look at Michigan and it's a mitten, I'm kind of like in the thumb, like the joint of the thumb.
Yeah, I actually Googled it like a year ago, like what is Wayne County? So yeah, it's a popular county in Michigan. So Garrett Gills, tell us a little bit, because I know that any comedian story, if they are married or have kids and you've got twin 13-year-olds, you know, their story is a family story. And if you're, you know, here we are, a full-time comedian, you're going to tell us about your story of how you got here to this place where you're reaching millions of people online. Tell us a little bit about your family story, about like where you were and, you know, how'd you get here, and a little bit about like how your family was impacted by all this.
Yeah, so like I had been doing comedy since like high school. I was always kind of like the funny kid, and started doing improv in there. Had a great teacher who kind of pointed me in the direction of a place called Second City, which is kind of like a world-renowned comedy school where Chris Farley, Michael Myers has come from, Tina Fey, Bill Murray. They've all learned improv there.
Legends.
Truly. I mean, there was the reason.
Those are the legends of legends.
Yeah. I always say it was the Hogwarts of comedy school. That's what it always felt like. And so they had one in Detroit, and it was like we had big names that had come out of Detroit as well. And so I was like, well, I'll just take classes here, and started kind of entering the Detroit improv community, and we've kind of had like some great people come out of our community. So I got this really great just experience in town for like 15 years doing this crazy improv life of just like doing sets every couple of nights. You know, it felt like I was like in a pickup basketball league or something.
Okay. But this is all just like amateur, right? Like you're not getting paid.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd get paid, you know, I'd do road gigs or something like that. There was a couple theaters here that like I was like a resident cast member of, and they would sometimes send us out on these crazy, you know, road kind of company parties. I've done improv everywhere. I've done them next to a petting zoo. It's like,
oh my gosh.
You know, in Detroit, you kind of carve your own path. There isn't show business, you know, so you have to do gigs wherever they come. So I kind of sharpened my armor and stuff like that. But that whole time I was kind of dating who's now my wife, but I had my girlfriend and fiance. And so we were kind of just making our way that way. I had a day job the whole time and would just kind of do comedy, you know, at night when I could, as like a side job.
Oh, so she was there from the beginning, knew like, this is my dream. I'm really following my dream. What's her name? Your wife's name?
My wife's name's Maggie. And we met at a party, and I probably met her 3 months into improv. I had just started. And so I was kind of the guy in the group that had kind of been like, this is the comedy guy in our group. So that was kind of my, you know, at 20 years old, that's, everyone just has an identity. 20. That was mine. Yeah.
How old are you now?
We were young. I am 39 now.
All right. Dude. Yeah.
So like, we always talk about our wives on this podcast and how like, I'm a meteorologist. So sometimes I'll go to my spouse and be like, hey, when I was live doing the storm coverage, did I seem legit? And she'll be like, no, you sucked. And then like Sean will go to his wife like, hey, I'm about to post this video. What do you think? And his wife will tell him legit. Like, so does your wife literally keep it legit? Is she a big cheerleader? Or is she like, hey, you need to work on this? How has she been as a partner?
You know, she's kind of been there to fill everything. She can be my cheerleader. I always say that Maggie has seen more bad improv than any human being ever.
Yeah.
So she was there for all the growing pains, you know, but like, she's super honest with me. We kind of, you know, like she's been there for, I can run bits past her, you know, if I have an idea. She's very good. Like, she's an amazing storyteller and writer. Oh. So she helps me with all that stuff. Yeah.
No
she's
way.
Always,
she helps you write your material.
There's no doubt she's been there me to just kind of bounce ideas off of just like, what do you think of this? Or like, you know, sometimes I always have like an idea and I'll just kind of be like, I just kind of need like the why that character is talking about. And she's good with like the why, you know, she's just there for everything to help. But she always thought it was so cool right from the get-go to be like, go for it. Go for comp. Like, she liked my, and I had a passion for it. So.
Well, that's something that you don't hear from comics very much about.
The support.
And like, here's the question. So you've been in full-time comedy for a year and a half now. So just tell us a little bit about that. What was that like for you and your kids? For you're like, hey guys, I'm ready to take the leap into this. I'm going to quit my full-time steady paycheck and do this. What was that like?
It was, you know, like the dream is that I always said it was going to be like Shawshank, you know, like I'm just like breaking out and I'm just like, I made it. But like, it was kind of like, you know, we've been going, we're looking at like what we're making and stuff. And I'm like, you know, and a few changes were happening at work. And I was just like, you know, this might be time to maybe do this. And then if it doesn't, I can always just find another job. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. It's fine. Like, I just want to give this a go, and kind of looked at our situation and said,
she was good, you know, with it. She was supportive. Oh, it's so great.
I would say that too, like, you could always go back, right? People always tell, I moved a lot across the country a lot. And, you know, it basically, when I tell people like, it's okay to move because you can always go back. So for you, you'd basically are taking the leap and basically saying, you know, I could always get a W-2 job again, but might as well try this while I can.
Yeah.
Totally. We were just kind of looking at our situation and just being like, you know what? I think this is possible right now and this might work. And, you know, thankfully it really has. And it kind of was a situation that if I do this full time, it's probably going to enhance the whole brand. If I can just really get at home and be at home and do this and push it all, you know, just more pushing of content, it might work out. So, and it has.
So let me ask you some personal questions, if I could, just about fatherhood, family life. So what is that? How is it? How do you think it is having twins, 13-year-old twins? Like, what is that like? I guess I'll rephrase my question. What's it like having 13-year-old twins? Are they boy, girl, boys, girls?
I have two 13-year-old boys.
Okay. What's that like?
Yeah, I think every parent of twins is still like, you don't ever recover from the day you're told you have twins. It's always like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
And it's been that every single day. I love it, but it's been that way every single day of like, wow, I still can't believe that happened. Like, yeah. I'll tell them about it. I'm like, no, it was crazy. Everyone thought it was crazy. And they're just like, okay, yeah. Dad, we gotta go.
Are they pretty similar? Are they different?
You know, they get along, and I would say that they have a lot of similarities, but there's definitely a big personality issue with each one of them. And, you know, one of them can do this good, one's this, you know, better at this. But
are they identical or fraternal?
They're fraternal, which has kind of been nice that they have their own identities. You know, they don't...
Sure.
They look like brothers, but they definitely just look like their own person. So it's been nice that they don't get mixed up a lot, but they still get that.
I have twins too, but mine are boy-girl twins. They just turned 10. Oh. And it's like, it is a whirlwind, dude. It's like, but then we had another one, and our third has special needs. He has Down syndrome. Okay. I'm like, what is wrong with these pregnancies? Every time we have a pregnancy, it's like something crazy is happening. Like, my goodness gracious, it's wild.
Yeah.
But like with your career and what you do, do you ever have to be mindful of your jokes and like, okay, I'm going to keep it clean, or if I go dirty and it's alive online, my kids could ultimately see it. So does that ever alter your content?
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And you know, like I was kind of lucky enough that the content took off without me swearing in it. Cause in the early ones, you know, I was I wanted to keep the characters authentic, and I play some pretty real to life characters who use the language, you know, how they want. But, I was thankful enough to realize that as it was growing, that going clean was kind of the only way, which I kind of prefer. I think it's more of a challenge, and I like it that way.
Yeah.
And I realized I'm stronger without it, and I don't need it. It's just kind of a crutch, you know? So,
Man.
So it's kind of really, it's cool. And it's kind of really brought a different amount of fans to me. Like I have kid fans, which is crazy. And so
that's cool.
Yeah.
My kids think it's kind of, they think it's cool. Like I have a few that have blown up on TikTok, and the boys are like, dude, so-and-so shared it. And I'm like, who's that? Like, they're chilling.
Let's talk more about your sons. Yeah. Because
that's great.
One of the most memorable memes I've seen, it was very old now. It's probably like 12, 15 years old, but it's like one of the guys from Slayer, and he's there with like his three kids and his wife, and the kids look so miserable. Like their dad's the biggest dork. And then the caption says something like, you know, like something like this. I should probably Google it right now. It's easy to find. Like if the guy from Slayer is a dork to their kids, then, you know, then there's like, don't worry about it. Right. Cause we're all dorks or something like that. Right. Yeah. So like, do your kids, I think you just answered, are they comfortable having a dad who's kind of like becoming famous or getting stopped on the street? Are they good with it? Is it embarrassing? Do they want to be in your videos? Are they like, keep me out of your videos? Dad, how are they handling that? Being a, you know, because that's what we often talk about. Teenagers on their phone, teenagers social media. But yeah, but no one's ever asked me ever, like, well, what's it like for you being on social media? My wife is too, but you know, what's that like for your kids? So I'm asking you, how are your sons coping like it's a bad thing, but it's actually, I'm going to go with that word. I'm going to stick with it. How are they coping with a dad who's on social media and so well liked and seen?
Yeah. I think there are definitely times where they think it's awesome. You know, I think it's been nothing but positive so far. Nothing really bad's come along so far, but yeah, there's times where they're like, this is cool. This person shared it. And since that person shared it, they think I'm cool now for a second.
Yeah.
But there's times where I'll get recognized or something like that. And then they do like the, you know, they're like, oh, thank you, I'll take a picture with them. And they'll walk away. And then the boys will go, you know, they'll do the, ho, 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 Mr. Hollywood over here. You know, so they definitely keep me humble, you know. And they're quick to be like, I'll give them an idea. I'm like, what do you think of this? And they'll just be like, nah.
Not on that one.
Yeah, they have no problem.
Oh my gosh.
But they've shot me ideas that have been like big ones. So
really?
They gave me one time about, I was, it was a video where I was saying sheesh all the time. When all the do you remember when kids were just all saying sheesh?
Oh, so annoying, man.
Oh, yes.
So annoying.
It's like they all pick up like a new word every, you know, couple of months, and then that's the word, you know? And so they came home and they were like, Dad, everyone's saying sheesh. You should do one about sheesh. And I was like, okay. It was a good one. It like blew up for us. And so they were like, got it. So it was cool.
It's so funny. Like these kids, you know, you're going to have one day maybe like a Netflix special. It's going to be like the biggest moment in your life. And they're going to be like, so? And then they're going to be like, wait, Dad, did you know you're on YouTube? Like, wait, where's the priority here?
I know.
But going back to your, you know, being clean. I have a lot of respect for them. One of my favorite comedians, if not my favorite, I haven't even seen him in person, is Jim Gaffigan. I think he's great.
Oh, he's
clean. He's great. Do you have someone that you look up to and that you kind of want to be like, or, you know, you model your stuff like, or I don't know, is a comedian idol to you?
Yeah, like, no, Gaffigan would definitely be in that vein and stuff. I've always been a huge Will Ferrell fan. I know, he's not always been the most family-friendly, but that was kind of always my guy growing up. But yeah, you know, just kind of taking that responsibility of being one of the guys that gets to be clean and get to take. I just did a convention over the weekend in town here.
Yeah.
And I had like a fan who was, he had to be maybe 6-7 years old. And he was reciting Uncle Terry lines back at me. And I'm
so
going,
cool.
You're doing Uncle my Terry. Character back to me. I was like 7 years old.
Kind of feels so good.
Yeah. And so like, to me, it's like, I was inspired by comedians when I was like young, you know, from a young age, like 10. And I always wanted to be a comedian. And so to make maybe some of these kids look up to me and maybe become comedians, what's better than that? There's nothing better than that.
So, I know. Well, you know, it's, I was in Cancun last week on a family vacation and we traveled there with another family and we just started talking about the podcast and about how excited I was to have you on the show, Garrett. And they were also, then they started asking me, well, Sean, why don't you reach out to more people? Like if you are excited about having Garrett. And so we started chatting because, The Rock follows me and they're like, Sean, reach out to The Rock, like shoot your shot. I was like, come on. But so in defense of this podcast, this is one of the top 10 parenting podcasts in the world. And so I'm going to shoot out, I'm going to try The Rock through Instagram to see if he can come on the show.
You should.
And they asked me, well, who would be your number one that you would love to have? And I say, well, for me, I think in my generation, I mean, the most influential, amazing actor, comedian ever is Will Ferrell. And like, reach out to Will. So I just, Will Ferrell, is there something just...
Actually, I've heard some parenting stories from him. Kevin Hart does some parenting stories in his show. It's pretty funny to hear when you bring in parenting because we can all relate to that. It is so relatable for all of us because it's not ice cream and butterflies.
No.
Majority of the time.
It's the truth. And Sean, I think you really should reach out to The Rock because like you said, there's no doubt The Rock is not going through the same stuff
we're all going through.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that he's The Rock and I'm a big wrestling fan and I know, I'm like, oh man, I know you were great at WrestleMania, but when you got home, I bet you had to do some laundry and stuff, didn't you, buddy?
I know.
The Rock has to do laundry and he has to clean up crumbs on the counter. You know he does.
Right. Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if The Rock does laundry. He might have 5 or 6 nannies or butlers.
That's true.
But you're right. It's so true.
I hope he
like,
does.
If The Rock is on the show, I'm going to ask him these questions. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you right now. So, all right. What is one of the, we just did an episode a couple weeks ago, the five entitled, what was it called? Jordan is like the 5 suckiest parts of parenting or the 5.
Yeah. The things we can't stand. The top 5 things we can't
stand. Yeah, man. Cause this is super relatable. People never talk about that. Like, I can't wait. It wouldn't be so great to hear The Rock or Will Ferrell's take on like, okay, what sucks about family life for you, man? Cause people often talk about, oh, I love my kids. I love being a dad. My favorite thing is parenting. That's all cool. But like, all right, what do you think? What's one of the worst parts of parenting, Garrett?
Okay, number one, like I just said it right there. My number one, I always say that there are things people don't tell you about being a parent before you become, like, you know, they tell you like the diapers and all that stuff. And I'm like, no. That's not, mine is crumbs or wrappers or empty cans or water bottles.
Oh,
like,
I thought you were
joking.
That's hilarious.
No, that crumbs. Stuff, just like it's
like worse than like boogers and poopy diapers and screaming. Really?
Because it's always crumbs. Every day of like, why is that gum wrapper on the ground? And then I, you know, I'll pick them up 5 or 6 times.
Okay.
And then once that 7th time, I'm like, why isn't this being picked up? And they'll give me the, I didn't even see it. I'm like, yes, you did.
Why don't you pick it up,
did.
Dad?
Don't lie to me.
Why don't you pick it up?
And then like, I, you know, like how did you get crumbs out of Jello? You know what I mean? Like there's like, why is there such a mess all the time?
Oh my
gosh. One ever told me about that stuff.
That's good though. I mean, it's the little things that makes parenting make us that much better. Like we're having to like, tend and care for this other being when we've been just taking care of ourselves for a while. And then we get married and then it's like, okay, we have to learn to adapt with a spouse. And then it's like this other being is here and you're like, hold on a second, like they're not following my rules.
Right.
You know, it's like if it's a dog, you can train the dog. But this is a child that's got its own thoughts, its own mind, it's got its own personality. You had two at one time, more hard.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if they're not in the same sleeping pattern. And it can be very, very frustrating. What do you do to bond with your child, right? Like, what are you doing to make sure that they're not, you know, just on the phones all the time or on their computer? Like, are you, do you guys fish? Do you have any hobbies together? What do you do to kind of get that one-on-one or two-on-one?
Yeah, time? I love that. Yeah, actually, one of them is fishing. We do it, like, we have a local, like, place here that we, you know, I kind of showed them how to fish, and then they kind of took fishing to their whole new level, like, you right. know, and so, yeah, that's like one thing we always go do. We have a place in northern Michigan here. My dad has a place up there that we spend like this year is going to be like endless summer. Mm. We said we're just going to do an open-ended stay up there and fish yeah. all day.
Oh, cool.
So we definitely bond through sports.
You're a huge sports fan. It's clear in your video. So does one of your sports or do any of your sons, are they into sports at all?
For sure. Both of them play like just a multitude of sports.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm always like, I've done a little bit of like the head coaching, but I always love to kind of just be the assistant coach and just kind of help along, you know, kind of rev the kids up, keep their attitude straight and just focused in the game. So I like that.
We talking like badminton, competitive chess? Or
It's usually like basketball is usually the main one that I'll coach. Okay. Right now they're doing some track. Nice. Track's kind of like the fun spring sport. It seems like at their school for everyone to do.
Cool, man.
And then in football, for the last 3 years, I announced for the team.
Oh,
so that was really fun to do. Yeah.
Did you do it in a voice or a character, or did you just do your regular?
It was like a heightened me. I kept saying I was just like a more heightened, I kind of went WWE with it. I was real theatrical.
You're
with
so
it.
Different. Like nice. It's such nice, a trip. Dude. You probably heard this a lot. Maybe you haven't, but you're like who you truly are is your acting is so incredible because these characters that you see on camera, man, oh my gosh, Cody Badenhoop, Dylan Dipcut Stanko, and Uncle Terry, these are totally different people than who I'm talking to right now. So what is up with that, dude? Like, how are you so different than these characters? Because I think, what is going on right now? Like, how is it? How do you make this happen? Like, what is happening right now? I'm like tripping out a little bit.
I know it's everyone always is like when they meet me, they're kind of trying to put me in like, which character are you really? You
know, of course, like, that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I kind of always had I acted in my first play in like fourth grade, and in my area, you know, like theater's not a very big thing, you know, it's mostly like I was doing Little League and all this stuff, but then had one fourth grade teacher who was like, they were doing the school play. And I was like, I'd like to try this. I remember seeing it the year before and just being like, I'd like to give this a go. I kind of had felt like maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
So when I did it, it kind of felt great. And I kind of just, that was always just a little hobby I kind of had. Anytime there was a drama class, I was, you know, kind of put in it and stuff. Yeah. The first in my area drama, I just thought was Shakespeare, you know? But I found out that it was more just like acting techniques and comedy and improv, and I was always the funny guy, so I kind of got to mix those two together, and now I'm here.
It's interesting because I couldn't help but think of Jordan, because Jordan grew up, you know, varsity football around a lot of alpha males, and you clearly did too around the sports culture. So did either of you guys get roasted or teased when you were kids just pursuing theater or the performance arts by your buddies, or was it like, hey, like, this is my friends respect me, this is like what I do, this is a part of who I am? What was that like for both you guys?
I'll let you go first.
You know, I kind of mine was kind of hidden behind that it was comedy, so I kind of got to float in a lot of different pools of athletes and alphas, because if you're funny, you can kind of move about the room, kind of just be like for everybody. And so I was always kind of doing the plays, but they always had kind of a funny tone in them, you know, or I always would get the comedic role,
good.
And so
that's good.
They'd come and be like, my friends were always really cool about it. And I think since I was 14, I was talking about like, I'm going to give this a go, man. And like, I was making home videos. And so they always kind of saw it going that way for me.
Well, it seemed like you were comfortable in your skin, right? So you had that comfort. You kind of had that identity almost in high school. And there's a lot of people in high school that don't even have an identity. They're trying to figure it out, right? So like for me, I just had to be adaptable, right? And I started learning theater when I was like junior, I think, is when my girlfriend at the time introduced me to it. And I really liked it. Football guys are all macho, but they kind of understood because a couple of the guys would come over too. And they're like, it was kind of fun performing in front of people. I'm like, yeah, dude, I told you. But you had to be adaptable. And that's really hard in high school for people these days. I mean, nowadays with technology, they're putting their heads in their phone. They're talking to each other in a phone when they're standing right next to each other. I'm like, dude, just go say hi. Well, I don't know how to say hi. I'm not going to talk to them. Sounds like a waste of energy. So like your kids are 13. I'm trying to remember 13. I think it was at ninth grade. Is that what grade they're in? What grade
they're
are they
in? Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Yeah. Eighth grade. Okay. So yeah, eighth grade. Remember, that's right. Eighth grade going into ninth grade. And that was a really tough transition. Middle school was hard. Is it hard for them? Is it hard for you as a parent to teach them about bullying and how to adapt basically?
100%. I think like, you know, people can, you know, with younger kids are like doing the like diaper stuff and like, oh, they don't go to sleep and stuff. And I'm like, yo, there's a whole different set of problems.
If you only know.
Like, because now we're dealing with human stuff, you know? And so, and they're going through, like every human being goes through, they're going through self-doubt or comparing themselves to others or their own brother. And so that's always kind of a thing I'm trying to figure out for them or just expose them to as many things as I can. So maybe they find their thing or a couple of their things that they love.
All right, man, here's a question for you. Personal question. These are questions that most people do not ask comics. All right, so tell us a little bit more about your wife, Maggie, about this journey of like, you know, where were you when you first made that first video? She sounds very supportive, but now here you are, you're more advanced in your career. You're on podcasts, you're going to shows, you've got this tour that you're trying to develop. So, you know, what if we ask Maggie or even your kids, like what's hard about living with you, a comic? What is hard about, you know, just this lifestyle of filming and TikTok and Instagram? What do you think that your wife or your kids would say?
Yeah, we were talking about coming on, you know, me coming on the podcast, and I asked her kind of like, you know, what do you think? That's kind of a similar question like that. And I think my wife would tell you that she's had to kind of share me a little bit with my passion. Mm. You know, it's definitely had to be something I think she's had to sacrifice. You know, I don't think we've ever missed any big family events or anything, but there has definitely been nights like when I was first going for the, you know, the at night, you know, I'm out 2-3 times a night, you know, or like, you know, a week, I mean, and we're just, I'm always on the go or rehearsals or up late having to get up for work the next morning and I'm exhausted and for no money, you know. And so for her to kind of just be like, he loves it. He loves it. Cause it didn't feel like a hobby. It felt more, you know? So I was always just kind of going. So I think she would say it's definitely just having to sacrifice his time a lot because he's going off to go do this a lot.
Yeah. And does she work? Is she full-time job employee?
Yeah, she works from home. She has a full-time job. We actually used to work at the same company, which was always kind of like, you know, when we used to drive there, it was great because we'd always have like 35 minutes to ourselves in the car every day, which we used to kind of love. Yeah. Because we would, once we got to work, we just kind of split ways. But now it's great because she works from home. I'm home all day. So we kind of just get to chit chat all day. It's kind of been lovely.
I was going to see if you had to like kind of almost become, you know, a dad mom, so to speak, if she was in the office. But since she's home, that kind of helps because you guys can still share the chores. Do you ever have to step up in certain things that normally, like typically, more of the female style role would take, and you're actually stepping up to do that, whether it's laundry or whatever it is?
100%. Now that I'm home all day, I realize how much time I have when you're not working a day job to be home. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've taken over a lot more stuff and happily, like glad to have like the folded laundry all the time. I'm a big laundry guy. I love laundry.
No crumbs and laundry.
Right. Yeah. Like I never want to do dishes. I hate dishes, but I love laundry and I'll make sure the towels, I don't only just like want to clean it, I'll fold it and I'll put it away for you. But, so we're definitely, you know, sharing.
All the moms out there are like, where can I find a guy like him?
My one.
All the single ladies. One.
So that's been great to just kind of be home, to just kind of take care of, you know, just things during the afternoon and not after work when you're exhausted. That's kind of been great. And just to have her at home and there's no morning commute. There's no battling at home to, It's been kind of great. We know how lucky we are. We never take this for granted. Oh, it's so been cool. Awesome.
I got a family question for you, but I want to throw in like a some of my favorite bits in the question. So it's a long question. Okay. So I found you like years ago and you had made this bit on all black Dodge Rams, all black Dodge Rams. Who has these all black in your, one of your characters? I was just like cracking up. I sent it to all my friends, like, have you ever seen anything like this? It was just this long monologue of this character. And you didn't know if it was real or if it was fake because the acting was so good. And then just recently I saw this video and you're in a wholly different character named Cody. And they look so different, everybody. And he's standing by next to this river. And the video is entitled something like Cops Hate Water. And I can't do the voice. So it was kind of like, you know, cops hate water. You know, they hate it. It's like they coming after me. But I know I'm going into this river right here. You got to get out your cop kayak. And it was just so funny. Like, you have to have a cop kayak because cops are afraid of water. So a question that I have is, do you ever like break out in character around your family or friends? And do they like it? Or are they annoyed by it? Or are they like, are they baiting you on, or you're in character and then no one's laughing at you? So it's like, here we are, you make a video about a cop kayak and millions of people are cracking up. And then you at home, it's like, shut up, dad. Like, you know, what is that like? Do you ever break out into character or jokes around your fans or family? Or do they bait you to now? What is it like?
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I always feel like my wife and my two kids, I always say that they really know my formula now. So they see right through my comedy tricks now. But I love it. It's the best. But it's one of those things that I guess my characters are based on real life people that we kind of all know and see all the time. Mm-hmm. So they've all kind of gotten a real sense of these people that are around us all the time. Like, my sons can pick out and be like, Dad, that's a dip cup guy right there. And I'm like, good eye. Good eye.
That's good.
You got it, bud. Like, or they'll see it who's like, yeah. And they're like, they'll see a Cody and be like, that dude's such a Cody. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's cool. So dude, that's something you get to share.
Yeah. You're answering Jordan's question too. That's incredible.
Bond,
you're bonding
over your content
over your characters with your own children.
Yeah. It's kind of been like that. I always feel like if I was to have anything, I feel like I have a sense of people like that. I'm really, when I was a kid, I feel like the reputation I had as a kid was that I was kind of quiet in a lot of ways and I was observing people. My dad always said that, man, you were watching everybody work.
Oh,
and I was like,
yeah,
I really
taking
must
notes.
Have. Yeah, like I was really taking in, I think, human behavior. I think I've always been obsessed with the way people talk, their cadence, the way they walk, they move. I'm obsessed with it. It's such an added part of a person and a nuance. So to let my see that, oh, it's cool.
Yeah. And I think I'm learning something about myself listening to you. I'm obsessed with family and healthy families and parenting. And so, you know, everyone's thinking about different things right now. And what I keep coming back to is your kids and your wife. Because I realize that listening to you, there's like a pain point in my life that I talk about with my family and inner circle only. And that would be like, you know, what's that like being on social media and just the tension that it brings into the family, right? And for me, and my wife, there's just been a lot of tension over the last 5 years. And we've had to work through that and make sacrifices. And so, for example, I could just go on and on. Like, I have strong boundaries. Like, I will not put my kids in my Instagram stories or in my videos without their permission. And I'll be really bummed out sometimes. I'll be like, can we just take a family photo? And they're like, well,
are you gonna post it?
no, are you going to post it? I said, yeah, can I, or, you know, we're in Cancun and I'm like, can we take a picture together? Cause I'm doing like a daily vlog. I did like a daily vlog. You can see it on my story highlights. I'm really, really proud of it. And I was like, hey, I'm just taking pictures and videos throughout my day. And one of my kids like, nope, I don't want to be in it right now. I'm not in the mood. And so that's just one example. So it just sounds like you're, for the most part, you and your sons and your wife are really, this is like a family adventure that you're all supportive and you're kind of broing out with your sons.
Yeah. But I'm glad you bring that up, Sean, because honestly, you're kind of making my heart flutter here a little bit. Cause like, I didn't know we were going to talk about that, but like, yeah, they're on my side, but like I've gone through that exact same thing you're talking mm-hmm. about. I'm like, mm-hmm. mine's a little different in the way that like, sometimes I'll just need them to help me in the way of like, would you just hold the camera? Like we'll be somewhere,
right?
And they know I have to go film something or want to go do something, and they're like, I don't want to right now. That's fair to me. It's like, why would I? You know. And so I told, and so sometimes we'll be at like we'll go at a campground, and my wife's there relaxing. She don't want to come help me,
right?
Me do dip cup at the lake real quick, and she worked all week. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, I guess I'm going handheld on this one. Handheld, you know, so like. But I get you. And that's, you're right. It's like, it's hard to figure out, like, how do I have fun and live my mm-hmm. life? But my life is sometimes coinciding with this job.
Mm-hmm.
Yours probably more than mine, even, because mine are characters. But I feel you on that. That's a tough one. I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. It's like we have to, I purposely, like, people will judge you on your social media following. Oh, he's got this many followers. Yeah. He must be blah, blah, blah. Oh, he only has this many. But like I have made it cognizant decision to like put the phone down and not record certain things.
Yeah.
Because it gets in the way of me having that true experience with my kids in that moment.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I'll take the camera and I'm glad I have that moment on camera when I look back. Mm-hmm. But to be like, oh, I have to make a video about this to share with other people, that feeling and that desire is taking away what the true purpose is of, let's say, camping or fishing or being in that moment.
Yeah, man.
And so that, I think, is the hardest part for us, because a lot of our lives, our work bleeds into our lives, and we want to share it with others. I don't know why. I don't know why we all want to share our dang lives with everybody all the dang time. Let's vlog every day. I do the same thing. It's like, what do other people care what I'm doing? I like it. But like, that's got to be hard for you, because, and Sean too, because this is your business. Like, your business is to get eyeballs, and you have to get as many eyeballs as possible so that you could ultimately make an income and provide for your family. Is there an off switch that you and your wife have talked about? Like, not today, not right now, not in this moment. This is in an anniversary. We're not doing it.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I think mine can be separated maybe a little bit more, because your guys is, again, like, that's, you know, Sean, I feel like you go about your life, right, as Sean, and you document that, correct?
No, I normally, I don't, no.
He doesn't do too many.
I don't do stories.
Oh, okay.
He does a lot of coaching in moments.
Got you. Okay.
Like, here's three tips to how to handle this or how to build identity in your kids. So no, but it's definitely affecting, because, yeah, please continue though. Yeah. With give us your take, Garrett.
It's really hard to separate them. I feel like with me, I can go out and I can be a comedian during the day and focus on creating content. Cause again, I'm improvising all the time. So I can go out for a few afternoons and get 10, 11, 12 pieces of great content, because I'm just raw improvising off the top of my head. And it's not going to take me a long time if it's really going. And so I can get a lot out of it and then come home and be a dad, because I know what you mean. It's like, my parents, I feel like it is, work is synonymous in my head with my parents. It's all they did.
Really?
You know, they had regular jobs, and they didn't get to be in the moment a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to be present for them.
Yeah.
And for me, it makes me a better creator of art if I'm taking in my life and making sure I'm not thinking about, when's that one going to post, or should we do it in the afternoon or morning or whatever, you know, like. So it's hard. Yeah.
And our kids are like, well, dad's on his phone all the time.
And you know what's hard too is like, my business is something I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah.
And so it's hard not to want to focus on that, because my day job always is like, that's just my day job. I don't care. You know, I can leave that at work. But I really love this. So my passion is my work, which is my life. So it's hard to get them all separated.
Now, you bring up your parents, and you don't. This is a personal question. Feel free to pass. Of course, you don't have. But how would you? How are you parenting your sons? And is it any similar or different, you know, than how your parents parented you?
Yeah. So, like, I think I have some things I take. I definitely have some things I didn't take. You know, I think you learn from your parents of every generation of like the things you don't want to bring along and the things you did, you know? And so I'm kind of just always trying to take the ones that were good. And one of the ones that my mom, I was just talking about this a couple of days ago. My mom was a person that made it so comfortable for me to be myself and to be open and to never have to hide anything from her.
Yeah.
Like I could go to her about problems. I could go to her about like, I always felt like I was like too close with my mom. Like I could tell her anything and she would, I never had a curfew, you know, it was all based on trust. And I always thought that was so cool that my mom was like just a person I could be like, mom, going through this thing and it sucks, you know, like, or I just never felt the need to lie. So that was awesome to have that.
Can you do that though with your kids? I feel like it's harder for guys to do that with their kids than moms with their sons.
Totally. Cause my dad, I was just going to say, my dad wasn't vulnerable with me as a man, you know, like he was always tough guy dad. And so I'm always trying to make sure that they can feel my vulnerability and hear me talking and being like, you can tell me anything you want. But yeah, it's harder for me. I can tell because there's times where they're about to tell me something and I can feel like they're watching my head about to explode.
Oh,
but
my mom
was so chill. So I don't know how she maintained that.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Yeah.
Jordan.
There's something about the female presence.
Yes.
Female presence.
I'm so glad I have got another hat. It's got to be harder for single parents out there who doesn't have the opposite side because you really need the balance of the two.
So helpful. So helpful.
It is. I spent the majority, like my parents were divorced and I spent the majority of the time living with my mom and my stepdad. But my mom was like, my mom ran the show.
Okay.
And so I was always surrounded by a very strong female presence. I didn't even know that there couldn't be that, you know, because my sister, I have a sister who's younger than me, like, and she's only younger by like 18 months.
Yeah.
She kind of ran the show second in command
in
our house. And like she learned to tie her shoes before me and she's 18 months younger than me. Like she was just like a go strong person. And so these two women in my life growing up were like, they did everything for me. They handled everything for me, you know? So when I married my wife, I was like, okay, I have found another strong woman because I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
One thing that I've found hard being a dad is about a year ago, Jordan, I told you this story on this podcast. I forget what episode it was, about how one of my teenage daughters was like, said to me and my wife, you need to sit down. I have to tell you something. And it was like, they looked like they were like pale in the face. And it was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I was about to die inside. Like, what is this? Like, you know, imagine all your greatest fears, you know, when you have an older teenage daughter going through your head.
Uh-huh.
And like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Is this happening right now? Is this happening? I mean, just remembering right now, I'm like giving myself, like, I'm breaking myself down. God, that moment. Oh, God. And then, of course, they just told me something like, you know, my daughter and a boyfriend broke up. And I was like,
that is hilarious.
So I mean, I have to keep it cool, though. I had to keep it cool. I'm talking about acting. I had to keep it cool, right? So I had a moment like that again just recently, 2 days ago. My wife pulled me in and said, hey, we need to talk to you. And I was like, I look at the other daughter, another daughter now, and I'm like, who also has a boyfriend. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Please be the same thing, please.
Right.
But essentially, with honoring my kids' total privacy, here's what I feel is appropriate to share. I was planning on sharing this. Is that my teenage daughter told us that she was keeping the truth from us on a specific topic in her personal life.
Okay.
And she wanted to tell us.
Come clean.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Come clean. Well, she had never, I guess, lied to me, but she did, I guess, tell my wife the opposite of something months ago. So in a sense, it was, okay. I guess, coming clean for their relationship, but not right. to me, because she never like lied to me.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Let me get my breath. Let me gather my breath. But one thing I said to her, I feel like I handled, I don't handle every situation well, but I feel like I handled the situation very well. And essentially, one of the things I said to her, you guys, was, look, like, I'm just so happy that you want to tell me these things. Like, I love you. And like, this is your private life. And like, you don't have to tell us these things. And especially like being a dad and being a man, like, you're a woman and you may not want to tell me some of these details. And that's okay. And that's okay. It'll be hard for me because I want to be in the loop. But like, you need to know, like, you don't have to tell me these things, but I do want you to know that whatever you do tell me, whatever you would have said today, I'm going to respond with love and acceptance and comfort. I'm going to be there. No judgments. And I think that
you said those words.
Yeah. Just happened 2 days ago.
That's amazing yeah. that you had the cool to say that in that moment. And what was the, can you share the reaction? Was it?
Well, she responded very well. My daughter. And my wife had yep. a little bit of a problem with my response.
Yeah, really?
Because she had to process, you know, it's very emotional.
Yes, of course, information.
She wanted to process.
Right?
Well, anything, Sean.
And you were probably still, right.
Yeah. What about right. this? What about that? And I really thought like, you yeah. know, like, yeah, anything. Now, of course, yeah. I might have to take a time out or like, you know, keep my cool composure. But I think that right. this is something that, you know, we don't talk about enough, whether you're a dad with daughters or you're a mom with sons, or it could be even a dad with sons. It could be a mom with daughters. It doesn't matter. Just like that balance between like, why is it, it's so hard. It like, it takes two to dance. So like I'm having a hard time putting into words, as you can tell, like that intimacy of wanting to be there for your kids, but they, for their own various reasons, they may not feel comfortable talking to you. And that's just because your gender could be one of the things. And I just, mm-hmm. I don't know. I just wanted to share that story and just came up on my mind. But
that's good. I had a moment like that last night with my daughter. She wouldn't tell me and she was lying to me. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't as cool as you. I was like, you are lying to my face right now. Like, just tell me. Just tell me. Tell me right now. What are you doing? Tell yeah. me. But anyway, she told my wife because she didn't want to tell me for whatever. I still don't know to this day what it was. And my wife looked at me and she goes, she already told me, it's fine. Drop
okay.
it.
Okay.
I'm like,
that's
okay.
good. So that's.
And I was like, and I told my daughter, I said, hey, yeah. just so you know, you can tell me that you don't want to tell mm-hmm. me. And I'm totally yes. fine with that. I just don't want you to lie to me. Well, Dad, I didn't lie. Technically, blah, 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 blah. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay. But just so you know, like you can say, I just don't feel comfortable. And I'll be like, okay, I love, yeah, you know,
that's good.
Well, and hopefully I'll keep my cool if that
really
ever
good.
Comes
that's
down
really
the road.
Good parenting, man. I just want to give you a shout out on that. Like telling your, like, you know, you don't have to tell me, just tell me you're not going to tell me versus a lie, which is such good yeah. parenting, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys, tell us a story. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no. I was just like, you guys were talking about your daughters and I, you know, me and my wife always say that like, I thought the twins were going to be both girls and I was hoping just for healthy, obviously, but I thought, man, if they're girls, I'll be good at that. I love yeah. art and I'll do dress up really good. I'm like, who will do a better tea party than me?
Yeah.
You know, man. Like,
right. Oh, the I'm characters.
You, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be at the plays and the recitals. I love yeah. that stuff.
Yeah.
But,
right. Yeah.
And so I always hear you guys talking about daughters and just like, man, I feel like if I would have had girls, I would have been wrapped around their fingers.
All right.
And, yeah. you know, we have, my yeah. wife's just always like, no, you would have, because we have a lot of nieces and uh-huh. the way I'm with them, I'm just like, oh, no, don't yeah. critique her. You know, I uh-huh. she's like, oh, we didn't have daughters for a reason. You would have made them monsters. Like, and I'm like,
well, I mean, I think you just need after this podcast, go to your wife and be like, hey, we need to have another one. I need to.
Oh, geez. 13.
No, but honestly, your wife, you know, I look at, I'm so glad I have a son. In fact, I have two sons, but my wife's relationship with my oldest son is so tight. Mm-hmm. It's like, he is here for her. Mm-hmm. I can tell. Like, I love having a son, but he's not there for me.
Yeah.
He is there 100% for her, and she is there for him. It's great to watch that. I'm assuming your wife and your sons are like that,
for
too.
For sure, yeah. I was a big mama's boy, and so I always tell them, I'm like, I trust mama's boys, man. Like, those guys are always just...
I trust mama's boys.
Yeah, dude. Like,
that needs to be a t-shirt.
That's a bit right there.
Dude, that's a t-shirt.
That's a bit. I trust mama's boys. That's my dad, funny.
My dad always laughs because my dad was the biggest mama's boy ever.
Oh, really?
To my grandma.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Hilarious.
So he's like,
passed down, man. It's
for
like...
For sure. I mean, I had a cool mom. I love her. You know, what am I supposed to do? You know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but they definitely have a vibe with her that I've always loved. And she is to, like, definitely... a confidant as well. You know what I mean? They can definitely, I think they go to her before me, which is once again, as a mama's boy, I'm like, I'd go to my mom first too, bro. Yeah, like, man. You know, so
Garrett, I can envision us talking again, in 3 years or 5 years, maybe having you on the show again. And
after they get their driver's license,
I don't know where, I don't know where I'm going to be as a family coach or a content creator in 3 to 5 years. I don't know where you're going to be, but you know, Matt, give us your dream a little bit. Like, where does it like being a dad of 2 13-year-old sons, married, super strong social media presence? What's your career goals? Where do you want to see yourself in 3 5 years? What does that look like for you?
I guess. Wow. Oh man, I don't know if anyone's ever asked me that. It's been a long time. Oh, I love.
You
this.
Need to kind of sit down and think about it yourself too. Like, what are my career goals? What are my family goals? What are my dad goals, you know, and you could sum it up for us, or, you know, obviously you want to keep this special bond you have with your
kids. For sure. I feel like in this next year, I get like the next 4 years of high school with them. And I had the best, I had an amazing high school experience. And so, I cannot wait to go through that. And so for like the next 5 years, I hope to just be able to have a steady incline of the career, but also enjoying them go through all the best times to me that they're about to hit. And I guess can I just say, like, be a mainstay comedian in our culture?
Yeah.
Dude, are you talking stand-up
characters, skits, TV? What is your dream?
I guess just...
Yeah, maybe you'll get an acting role.
Yeah, you know, like, to me, I feel like what I'm doing right now, like, this way of looking at everything on our phones, just by going on what our kids watch.
Right.
I feel like what I do on YouTube and what you guys do, this is the future, not TV.
Yeah.
Because I know my kids on their phones, they ain't watching TV shows.
No.
They're on YouTube. They're on TikTok.
I know.
Yeah.
So I think the younger, like the 20-year-olds even, I feel like what we do and the internet content is about to catch up, and it's almost been there. So if this is the job and I'm just like kind of still doing this, but it's just bigger.
Right.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So
I
feel like Wayne County Life could just be an online TV show of some sort, I guess, of like maybe other characters of other actors are on the show now, and who knows, you know?
You guys have probably heard of one of the most famous male dad content creators is called Dude Dad. He's based out of Colorado. And did you guys see that he actually went on a tour? And I don't know if it was successful. I don't know if he made money, but him and his wife went on a tour. Did you see that, Garrett? I could see you doing that. And on this, it's a show where they put on and just coming out in your different characters. Like, I can't wait to come and see you live here in Sacramento, California area, man. I'm going to be front row VIP, take a picture with you later. Like, you've got...
Wasn't Carrot Top a comedian who would use props?
Heck yeah, he's still going.
He's very going. Strong, very wealthy still and jacked. Strong. Yeah, he's very muscular. Sure. Yeah,
it's one of the things, like, I guess I've been doing comedy so long now that, you know, I feel like when you're younger, you crap on other comedy or whatever, but... Now that it's taken me such a, it took me 15 years to actually kind of get 15. A career at this, that it's like now I'm like, you know, like 20 years ago, I'd have crapped on that. I would have crapped on Carrot Top right there, but I'm not gonna, because Carrot Top's been going for 30 years and he's awesome. Like, you
that's
respect
so
everybody who's doing this for a living. You know, it's hard. It's hard.
Hard.
So
that's good, man.
Yeah,
very good.
Well, hey, Jordan Garrett, it's been super, super great talking family and comedy and family life with you. So if you want to follow and enjoy these videos like I enjoy them, you can find Garrett under Wayne County Life. Wayne County Life all over the internet.
Is it life with a Y? Yep. LYFE, Wayne County Life.
Yes, LYFE.
And give him a shout out, and we'll post this. We'll post some of these clips on social media so you can, you know, comment and tell us what you thought about this podcast episode through our social media clips. So, Garrett, we like to leave every episode with a little attitude of gratitude, a little something. And I just want to say thank you for you, because comedy is important. Laughing is important. And you are bringing joy and laughter to millions of people on a regular basis. So thank you for being you and for comedy and for just being real and vulnerable with us today, man. How about you? Can you close our episode with a little something you're thankful for?
Of course. Yeah, no, I'm thankful just to kind of be on here. And we live in a time of, honestly, where we can be three dads who are talking very openly and honestly, and for other people to hear us talk about being dads and the struggles, and knowing that we're not all supermen, and but sometimes can be, you know, I'm really grateful that you guys would have me on. And honestly, like, to have a real conversation between three dads, that's lovely. I seriously loved doing this with you guys.
Good.
Us too.
Thank you so much for joining us today. You are a good parent. Oh my gosh, family life and parenting is so hard. I hope today gave you some tools and some inspiration. And if you're joining this podcast, then please do me a favor. Leave us a positive review on your podcast provider. And if you're hearing this and you're struggling as a parent, your family is struggling, or you need parenting tools for that one challenging, struggling kid, well, I will see you in a live Zoom call inside my VIP membership, and I will give you the specific tools you need to solve every problem you have and to stay strong, be close, and teach with.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.